Oh boy. It's a real privilege to be here. But as people say at my age, it's a privilege to be anywhere. So it's just lovely. I mean that. Thank you very much for inviting me, taking a chance. I'm in the Weinberg congregation. I have been there for 5.5 years. I look at Margot because Margot knows everything. That's why Lee married her. He doesn't have to Google anymore. He's got a wife. And I'm actually at the end of this month moving to Mossel Bay. I'm going to go and reside in Mossel Bay, which is quite a big thing for an old guy. But I'm very excited about it. I really, really am. A bit nervous, you know. Looking forward to Mossel Bay. Promotion. The wonderful thing for me, I was there in February and March. Everything is 5 minutes away. I was early for every meeting. I'd get there, I think, no, you silly Wally. There's still a whole lot of time before this meeting, so it was good. It was good. So, here we are. This is the Azefontein. You guys are from Sunningdale. You also from Sunningdale? That whole row? Well, look happy. I mean, it's Sunningdale. It's beautiful. I recognize you guys. Anyone from any other congregation? Edgemead. Durbanville. Well, we won't hold that against you. Durbanville. Okay. And anyone else? I did meet someone. There he is at the back. And I remember you too from Darling. I'm not you, Darling, but you know, the town. Yeah. Beautiful, eh? Amazing. Isn't it lovely when you can come to a small place like Azefontein, which, to be honest, before Joshua Generation planted a church here, I never came here. What did I need to come to Azefontein? Now I come for the church and your spa, because I was introduced to a chocolate that this spa keeps and not many others keep. And my grandkids say, you're going to Azefontein. It's called a curly whirly. You Azers know it. Oh, you've got to be educated. You've got to buy a curly whirly. I mean, you've got to buy curly whirlies. Anyway, besides, okay. Okay, so let's read. Where's the scripture? Have you got it? What version have you got? The what? No. I don't want to be rude. But that's, we can read. The NIV, the neatly inspired version. Can you do that? I love technology when it works. I still write my things out because I put it on a computer once and then I got to where I was going to preach and I don't know what happened to it. It just disappeared. So I have paper now and I know that can't disappear. You know, somebody can steal it and maybe God will bless them, but that thing. You got it? Hey? Didn't I give it to you? You did. Galatians 5:16. Here we go. So I say, the Apostle Paul, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Or walk by the Spirit. Or daily walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Amazing. Live by the Spirit. You won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. These are hectic, in little groups of three. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, they go together. Idolatry and witchcraft, they go together. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, They go together. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I sincerely trust that none of us are living like that. If you are living like that, please put up your hand because you need prayer. Urgent. Yeah, it had to be somebody in the back row with a beanie on. I'm just saying, bro. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So we live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. It's a very powerful piece of scripture. Obviously, these things were happening in the church, and that's why Paul had to write to them. And we think, you know, the church is, it should be, but it isn't, this squeaky clean, perfect group of people. But the church is a group of people who were once like that, but God has rescued and he's brought into a relationship with him, and now he desires that we give ourselves to learn of him. And that's what I'm going to speak about, the fruit of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit in us. Have you ever heard this expression? Christians are not perfect, they're just forgiven. Have you heard that? Have you used that? Hey, Brie, I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. Now, it sounds nice, but it actually is a bit of a misnomer because it leads us to start believing things about ourselves that the Scripture doesn't actually teach. We are forgiven, but we are being perfected. So just to say that we're not perfect means, well, I'm happy with my little lot. I've got saved. I've got fire insurance now. So, you know, I'm not going to go to hell. Fire insurance. I used to be in the insurance industry. This insurance, you didn't even pay a premium. It was paid for you. Jesus paid the price. So you say, hey, just be easy on me. Christians are not perfect. We're just forgiven. Well, just forgiven is also a bit of a just forgiven? No, forgiven is the biggest thing that could have ever happened to us on the planet, to be able to walk in the ways of God and know forgiveness. Do you know that you've been forgiven? Do you know that? You have been forgiven. Lots of people walk around saying, well, I hope I am. No, no, we can know that we've been forgiven. I have come to Christ because he drew me. And let me say this. We didn't find Jesus because Jesus has never been lost. He found us. To say that I found Jesus, it sounds so spiritual, but it's nonsense. He found you. He found me. I was talking to Lee beforehand, thanking God that he found us. Because where would we have been? I often think back, I was telling Lee, I wasn't good. I was an average cricketer. I come from the Eastern Province. And well, the wise men came from the East. and I was in this cricket world. I was 25 years old, and God found me. And I had to make a decision. Either I follow Jesus and go to church on Sunday, or I play cricket. Now, I've got some mates who are still, they're still mates from 50 years ago when we played cricket, but they don't know Jesus. And I'm thankful to God that he found me because I genuinely don't know what would have happened to my life. He rescued me. He rescued you. So to say, just forgiven. No, I have been forgiven. It doesn't always make sense, but I've been forgiven. Because of the fact, this is not the whole story, because I'm said here, it portrays a thinking that it's okay just to be saved. And then what happens after that? Well, whatever. You know, the modern day kids, you know, what are you doing that for? You know you're going to get into trouble. Whatever. Whatever. It's just, I hear that from young people. I think you need a whatever. just to help you, just to help you. Christians are forgiven, but we are also a people that are being encouraged by God, by the Spirit of God who lives in us, to become more like the Son. That's my encouragement. If you think that you're not a Christian and you haven't got a desire in you to actually become more like Jesus, I don't know if you are a Christian. Now, that's a hard word to say, but that's the truth. I want to become more like Him. How? By spending time with Him, by praying, by saying, God, here I am. You know me better than I know me. I want you to download. Oh, I'm so into this now. I love the word download. You know when you watch movies and they spy movies and the guy breaks into the office and he's got his cell phone and he unplugs it and he does things and he plugs into the computer and there's all these lights and downloaded. It's all happening and the bad guys are coming and he's downloading whatever he's downloading and all the green lights flash. And I'm thinking, that's what I want to do. Get into the presence of God. Plug in and let Him download His life into me. Download it, Lord. Give me Your life. Now, I've got His life in the Spirit, by the Spirit, but I want more. I want to be effective. I want to get that full download. And when I walk out there, say, come on, world, make my day. Make my day. Because I'm walking in the reality that I'm walking with the Son of God by the Spirit. So I want downloads. I want Him to download His life into me. We're being changed by the power of the Spirit. We realize that we are not perfect, but there's this longing. There's this desire. This prompting, this motivation. I'm spitting seriously this morning. I've never spat on anybody intentionally. I'm sorry if you're a bit close and one lands, just flick it over, right? This prompting, this motivation that comes from inside because the Spirit has invaded me. He's part of me. You know, when you watch rugby and, I mean, we all, no, maybe not all. Some people don't watch. Amazing. It is amazing. I get invited out last night for a meal. I said, do you know what's on? They said, no. I said, the beginning of the meal is going to be the second half of the Springbok rugby test. And the beginning of the meal is going to be the first half of the junior books. He said, I haven't even got a TV, bro. I mean, can you believe that? I can, eh? I can, but there's this motivation to wonder, do you watch rugby and you see them passionate and the crowds are passionate? That's what God wants to put in us. Not that stupidity thing, come, you know, in your little costume with the colors of the flag and you're in church now. No, but He wants passion, desire, longing. If you don't have that, you must question whether actually Jesus has downloaded stuff into you that's going to help you become like Him. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, he followed those inner promptings. Paul did. This is what he says. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. 12 to 14. Do you want me to get it here? This is the part I love about the kind of church we're in. Doesn't work perfectly because we're not perfect. Okay, there's the what are we looking at? Philippians, here we go. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this, he's speaking about the life of God, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward, I press on. Who's never had a problem in their life? Faced an issue that caused much heartache, much soul searching? That's life. That's life. Those things shouldn't put us off from seeking what God wants to give us. Can you say amen? Those things shouldn't put us off. There are a lot of things I don't understand. So my wife died 7 years ago. On the 10th of July, 7 years ago, my wife passed away. She was a fitness fanatic. I was the doctor's delight. Whenever I went to the doctor, he'd look at this. What is this? He'd say, it's my corporation. He'd say, what does that mean? I said, it's Kidwell and Company. He said, I think we need to get rid of that. I'd say to him, Doc, take my blood pressure, take my sugar, do all the vitals. And then he'd come out and say, wonderful, blood pressure good. So I said, well, what are you worrying about? I mean, the Bible says Eli was a heavy man, old and heavy. And I thought, well, there you are then. He did fall over and break his neck, the poor guy, but still, he was a heavy man. He was a godly man. He was heavy. My wife was fit. We used to go to the gym. I'd have a coffee and a croissant, and she worked out. I do not understand why she died. Because she was not sick. But suddenly, she got sick. She passed away. God said to me, you'll never understand, but I want to teach you a lesson. I want you to teach a lesson. Even when you don't understand, I want you to learn to trust me. Oh. And lots of us have been through things that we don't understand. Maybe you've lost loved ones. Maybe you've lost business. Maybe I don't know what it is. But God says, if you trust me. So I trusted him. And now I'm with Joshua Generation. I'm joking. Paul was confident. His hopes and his dreams would be fulfilled, and we should be confident that the God that we serve is our Father in heaven. Who of you who have children and your children come and ask you for a fish, you'll give them a stone or a scorpion? That's what Jesus said. And he said, you being evil, he didn't mean evil in the sense of evil. He meant we don't know how to be proper fathers in comparison to him. And if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will he not give good gifts to us? Now, we've got to believe that. His presence is our guarantee that we will inherit all that he has promised. Can you go to 2 Corinthians 1? I'm going to miss a couple. What time did I start? I always forget. Yeah, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 to 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, now listen to this, and set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what was to come. Now he's not guaranteeing the dramas we faced. He's guaranteeing that what is to come is a life with him that is going to be beyond what we can ask or even imagine. Amen? When something is sealed, it's protected. God has marked us with a seal. I'm looking, you've still got a bit of snow on top. Some of the snow's melted, you know, in the peaks. You know, you can't say, you know, this blows my hair back anymore. But, I mean, Henry, we're still with you. We will remember this. You would get a package in the post when the post office still delivered things, and it was sealed. You had that red wax, and it was sealed. And you knew if you've got an envelope like that, this was important. Now remember, you know, breaking open the seal, the wax thing, and then inside is either, I don't know, whatever, something of importance. God, through Christ, by the Spirit, has sealed in us His life. It's sealed in us. It says he's sealed us. Put it up again. His seal of ownership is on us. I'm marked with a seal. Who's that guy? Who's that woman? Now I'm marked. God has marked me. What's the mark? The mark is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the mark. He's loving. He's a happy guy. Not a miserable old Christian. I'm holy. That's why I'm miserable. That's what we think holiness means. Put on the long face. I'm a Christian. Jesus was happy, man, for the joy that was set before him, and that's us. For the joy. for the joy. His joy is my strength. So when the fruit of joy grows in me, that strengthens me, makes me want to live life. Being old grumpy old git at my age, you know, wondering, it's all wrong. I did this, that happened to me in my life. You don't know what I've been through. Somebody said to me once, I said, you don't know what I've been through. Do you want to know? He said, no. I said, then neither do I want to know what you went through. What are you talking about? We've all been through things. But God wants to take us out of those things. When something's sealed, it's protected. God has marked us. He's the Spirit, which means He will protect us. The Spirit is also a deposit, a down payment. When I was, I'm a farm boy from the Grahamstown area, and the laborers used to buy things on lay-by. Maybe some of us have bought things on lay-by. But you put some money down to secure the thing you want to get. That's what God has done. He's made a down payment, guaranteeing our inheritance. The down payment is the life of the Spirit. He's put His Spirit in us, guaranteeing that one day I will see Him. And when I see Him, I'm going to have such a physique in heaven. I'm telling you, I can't wait. I can't wait. None of this, should I eat that? Should I? Oh, no, I can't. Oh, what the heck, I'll eat it. No. The first payment, the down payment, has guaranteed my inheritance in Christ. Can you say amen? He's a deposit, the first payment. The Holy Spirit is God's first down payment. The rest is still to come. It'll only come to us, though, when we walk with Him and ask Him to help us to walk in His ways. There's two ways to walk. There's the right way and the wrong way. If you walk in the right way, you don't have to worry. If you walk in the wrong way, you've got two things to worry about. Have you heard that story? You've seen that story? No, I can't repeat it. It's good, but you. Christians experience internal warfare. We are always in a fight because we have an enemy. The enemy, and don't be fooled. I was talking last night. I was, as I said, out for dinner. And we were speaking about the demonic realm. And for us Westerners, because we're all nice and, you know, polished, and we don't know a lot about the spirit world. But when you go into areas where there's not a lot of Western stuff, you see things that, you know, make you lose your hair. Maybe, I don't know, Henry, you've been involved in a lot of deliverance. I mean, I'm not sure. It gives you, it's scary. In, 25 years ago, that would be 2000, the church I was leading, we planted a church in a little place called Clarence in the Eastern Free State. Lovely little town, got a long story to this plant, but anyway. And then we took a team of young people there, and it was largely to the locals that this guy felt called to. And we were in this meeting, and there was a lady who was pregnant and came and stood and wanted prayer. And as these young people began to pray for her, she began to manifest. You know what manifest is? She began to show that there were some fellas that didn't pay rent. And they didn't like the prayer, and so they were making her face distort. And so I could see their eyes were, help me, please, somebody. So I went across. I said, what's going on? No, this is going on. So I said, okay, let's just. So we asked her a few questions. She was pregnant. She then said, she just needs to go to the bathroom. I said, fine. I said to two of the young girls, just help her go to the bathroom. She went to the bathroom. She came back. And she wasn't pregnant. Now, I'm not kidding now. And I'm not kidding well. I'm telling you the truth. I saw it with my own eyes. And she was a Sangoma. We didn't know. And she had this, she called it her snake. It's a spiritual being in her that was like a snake, which is ugly, but it was like a sexual friend. I don't know what it was, but she came back. She didn't have a miscarriage. She The young people with me on the team freaked out. Well, I had to act cool. Now, well, we see these things, you know. Meanwhile, in my heart, I'm going, oh, God, what do we have here? That's the force that the enemy has against people like us. And we've got to remember, we have an enemy who hates us with a passion, who wants to see us down. And when you're down, he just kicks you just to make it worthwhile. He hates you, he hates you, he hates you. The Holy Spirit empowers us to help us not fall into those temptations, those desires, because they come. You know, I can't stop temptations. I can't stop thoughts. Thoughts come, I can't stop the thoughts. I mean, I had a weird dream last night. I was chopping down trees. What the heck's going on? All the way, what's chopping down trees? Nothing, it's just a dream. I feel like there's something against me. I'm fighting something. Well, hello, I'm coming to preach. Old Slewfoot doesn't like that. So what does he do? He throws in little things that distract me and make me feel what is going on. That's his tactics. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Don't eat of that. Before they did, what did he say? Did God really say? Doubt. That's his biggest weapon. He's not changed it because we're so dwarf, we fall for it all the time. That's his strategy. He doesn't change his strategy. Christians fall for that. Are you sure God said? Now, if I've got the book, if I've read the word, and it says it, I believe it. Let me say this. We don't claim promises. We believe promises. The difference between claiming and believing is if I believe God is going to enable me something nice. Get another car. God's going to. I believe that. Now, I can't say I claim that in Jesus' name and don't do anything about it. You can claim until the cows come home. You won't get it. But if you believe it, believing makes you activate your faith. And believing makes you do something. Claiming it in Jesus' name. No, man. No, man. That's for another world. It's not for our world. Claim it. Claim it, brother. Claim it. That's the name it, claim it, frame it for again. That's them. But it's wrong. It's not biblical. No, I believe the promises of God. So if God spoke to me something, I believe it. I own it for myself. That activates my faith. I don't know how you're going to do it, God. I don't know how you're going to do it. But because you're God, I'm going to believe you. Because you spoke, I'm going to believe you. We have to learn to cooperate with God. We must get in, listen to me, into our thinking and our hearts and into our wills. Into our thinking, into our hearts, into our wills. God's ways are always better for me. Always. I looked up the Greek word for always. It says always. There's no question. God's ways are always better for me than my ways. And then Isaiah the prophet says, my ways, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But we don't believe it. So what do? We think, well, we've just got to help God. You know, it's take a bit long, so I'll just give you a bit of a hand. So you start trying to make the promise come to pass. No. We've got to trust God. We've got to believe His ways are always better. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. It may not sound like it, but it is true. I go against sometimes my better judgment. I think, it can't be. No, Lord, I just can't. God says something to me, go do that. Lord, I stutter. No, you don't. I've got a sore leg. No, you haven't. You try and make excuses for when God wants you to do something for Him. Do it, and you see the results. Do it, and you'll see the results. Amen? The Holy Spirit leads us away from sin. He doesn't overwhelm us. He doesn't force us to God's will. He offers gifts. He gives power, and He gives guidance. And you own the gifts. You lay claim to the gifts, and God gives you stuff to do. And He expects us to follow Him. We mustn't trust ourselves. Sin leads us into ungodly things. What is sin? We don't. The word is not used today. People don't like to use the word sin. Now, I erred. Now, I enjoy cricket. I heard Margo is a great cricket fan. Yeah. Australia had probably the best leg spin bowler that the world has ever seen. His name was Shane Warne. And Shane Warne had no respect, desire, longing for God in any way. But Shane Warne is put on a pedestal, and they say, what an example, what a heritage of a cricketer. They might have been a good cricketer, but in his heart, no desire. Some of you might remember the name George Best, Manchester United. I think he was a Welshman. They gave him a funeral. What do you call these things? What not a celebrity thing? What a famous funeral? Tell me this. What does it mean? There's a word. They honored him at his funeral. You know what George Best said? They said, "What did you do with your money?" He said, he said, "I spent it on booze, girls, and pleasure, and the rest I squandered." That was George Best's life. And they give him a funeral that gets televised in Britain that this man. No. You see, we mustn't get caught because somebody's been good at a thing. No, Jesus was good at doing the thing like it should be done. He's our model. He's our model. We follow after him. We look at him. We need him. We need him to help us by the Spirit. So I want to quickly talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in that passage we read, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, all that stuff. It says this, against such things there's no law. There's no law. And it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit. It's a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus by the Spirit. Because he portrays all those things perfectly. Love. So sometimes I'm unloving. And so are you. Don't look so religious now. You are. Sometimes we're just unloving. We bark at our partner. We scale the kids out with a flipping dog again. Why does it have to do it inside? You're just unloving. What are the others? Joy. What brings me joy? Well, when something works for me, it brings me joy. But when something doesn't work for me, what does that mean? That I'm miserable then? No. This joy is a fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against it. I can't say this morning I'm going to wake up, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm going to be joyous today. I'm going to be full of joy today. Now, that's not how it works. Your joy comes from being in His presence because the Bible says in His presence is the fullness of joy. And Jesus said, my joy is your strength. That's how I live. That's how we must live. Joy. There's no law. Patience. Patience. Delay, Lord. I'm going to be very patient in the traffic. I'm not going to. Where I live, down at Musenberg area, I drive up a famous road. It's the M5. It's Prince George Drive. And if you get onto Prince George Drive, and you get behind a little car with a guy with a hat on, he will be in the right-hand lane, which is the fast lane. We all know that. But he bought his car in 2000 when he retired, and it still goes well, and he's turning off 5 kilometers further up. So he's in the right-hand lane, and he's getting ready to turn, 5K's time. Because when he bought his car 20 years ago, there wasn't the amount of traffic on the road that there is now. And he's discovered, especially on Prince George Drive, that to get from the left lane to the right lane when you're going to have to turn is a groot gedoente, jong. It's a big thing. So I'll just stick in this lane and hold the traffic up for 5 k's. I don't care because I'm turning in 5 kilometers time. So you drive and then people go, I'll move into the left lane. And then you move into the left lane and you get a taxi who stops when he shouldn't to pick up an auntie on the side. That, on your, oh, and there he goes. There they go. The slow. Now I'm changed lanes. I'm in the wrong lane. Patience. How do I learn patience? You see, I say to God, give me. So then he puts me into situations where it will make me impatient. And then at the end of it, he said, how did you win? How did you do? No, badly. You lost again. I know, God, just can you do it one more time? Just help me with patience. Do you know what I'm saying? Peace. Peace. Oh, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Then I look at the world and I look at our nation and I look at what's happened in the last 30 years and I lose my peace. But God hasn't changed. Yes, it's different. Yes, it's more difficult. Yes. But the peace of God helps me own this, whatever it is. God is large and in charge. It's not ETV that's large and in charge. God is. And he brings me that peace. What's the next one? Goodness. What's goodness? I mean, we rib each other. It's a goodness. It's a respect for each other. There's goodness in that. I want to do good. I want to help people. But sometimes people are just so, they're just so not good. Goodness. You know that. You do business and the guy says, yeah, no, look, what we'll do, Brie, we'll do this, that, that, thank you. You shake on it. Then he doesn't do it. And your goodness leaks out of your shoes. And you feel that anger rising. Goodness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Sorry, I'm not going to talk to you young people, but I'm going to talk to young people. You guys there too. When I grew up, and I was told that in business, I'm young, I've got a meeting at X time, I make sure that I'm there before the time. That's how I was brought up. That's how I learned to understand that I'm going to be faithful to this cause. If I'm going to be late, I make a plan to get a message. I'm caught in the traffic, but I'm on my way. Faithful. Faithful to what you know is right. Nee, wereld. I have a young man, he says, I need to get a coffee with you. Hey, cool. We'll meet 10:15, bootlegger, Kenilworth. Yeah, cool. 10:30, not there, I go. 10:25 to 11, he phones me. He says, where are you? I said, I'm going home. He said, but we had an appointment. I said, yes, 20 minutes ago. You never pitched, bro. Sorry. You're being unfaithful. Be a man of your word. Yeah, but no. Goats butt. Sheep don't butt. Don't butt. No. You knew. Yeah, but I left late. Well, why did you leave late? Well, I was watching something on. Yeah, there you go. That stupid thing. Faithfulness. God wants faithfulness in the life of the church. God wants us to be faithful to him, faithful to his people, serve them, encourage them, help them. Listen, sometimes I don't want to be faithful because they're unkind to me. I don't, but this, it grows in me. What was Jesus? Faithful to the end. Amen? Let's look at the next one. Faithful, where are we? Gentleness. Gentleness is meekness, which is not weakness. Jesus was very meek, very gentle. And we've got that picture sometimes of Jesus. Oh, he's just loving and gentle. You know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon a little child. I remember when I learned that when I was one, which is many years ago, you taught to pray. And then you get that picture of Jesus and he's got a little lamb. You know, the little lamb. Ah, it's not Jesus, folks. Jesus was a man who worked in a carpenter shop, walked miles, faced all sorts of issues, but he had the spiritual gentleness. People met him. How do people feel when they've met you? How do the people feel? Gentleness. Let's keep going. And then self-control. A lady came to me once. She said, look, can you pray for me, please, to stop swearing? I said, no. She said, why? I said, just stop it. You need prayer to stop swearing. Just stop it. Practice some self-control. What's your problem? Yeah, these things grow out of my relationship with Jesus. They fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. The presence of God is like the hothouse for these to grow. That's where they do their best. When I come to Him and I find favor with Him, these things grow in me. I don't look for them to grow. I just come into His presence and the word download comes. He downloads His life into me. Downloads His life into me. And these things become who I am in God. That's how I live it out. Do I do it perfectly? No. No. But I'm learning. I'm committed to learning to allow Him to speak, to speak, to speak for me, to own, for me to make mistakes. Lord, I'm sorry, I blew it again. Yes, I know. We're the same guy, Lord. How many times are you going to do it? I don't know, Lord, but please, I want grace. Help me. The grace of God has appeared. That's Jesus. And Titus 2:12, you haven't got that, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly things. How do I say no? Because I've got the life of God in me. When I first got saved and my old Philistine friends, hey, Bru, we're going out, you want to come? No. Why? Well, you know, I'm a Christian now. So what, Bru? There's that temptation, but it grows, it strengthens the resolve. I'm not going to go and do that stuff anymore. I have been called by one who is pure and holy and righteous and full of favor, full of grace, full of mercy, full of love. I want His life in me. I want to represent Him, and I also want to represent Him to the world. Can you say amen? That's the key. I'm nearly done. You're nodding off there, bro. Oh, just checking. No. Fruit. Fruit is a public testimony on how sensitive I am to the work of the Spirit in my life. The fruit of the Spirit. We get taken in by guys who have these amazing gifts. Wow, look at them. I had a young man in my church. He prophetically, it was scary. We had this conference one time, full, 600-700 people. And he called a name and an address. He said, there's somebody here, your name is, and does the street mean anything to you? And I thought, Brew, you've now pushed it. And people were, wow, that's amazing. And that impresses us. That's so impressive. But the Bible says that the gift and the call of God are irrevocable, meaning that's given to me as a gift. Even if I walk away and live a life that is unpleasing, I still have this gift. It's by their fruit, Jesus said, you will know them, not by their gifts. The fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit, that beautiful fruit that grows in me as I spend time in His presence. It is the telling sign, because fruit, listen to me, sets the abiders apart from the producers. If I abide under the shadow of the Almighty, it's not a visit. I visit every morning for 10 minutes. I've done my thing, tick the box. No, you can't do that. That's not, I don't know why they call it a quiet time. Sometimes it's not a quiet time at all. It's noisy. Do you want me to repeat that? It sets the abiders apart from the producers. Fruit is not one mark of the Spirit-filled life. It is the mark of the Spirit-filled life. You meet men and women who just exude this stuff. You think, well, I want to be with those people. Have you heard of their gift? I'm not kidding about the gift. This character. This is what I want. I want that. And we stand out from the rest. Because why? Because the fruit grows. There's no law against it. I'll tell you a funny story. Years ago, when I was young, we had a spaniel. My wife loved spaniels, dogs. Spaniels have a positive IQ on a Thursday. They are as thick as two planks, but they can be trained. Ours was as dumb as they come. And we bought this apple tree because we wanted to plant an apple tree in our yard. And I was still a Philistine, and, you know, I was playing cricket, so Tuesday practice, Thursday practice, Friday get ready for Saturday, Saturday play. And eventually she said to me one evening, came home from cricket, she said, "Listen, darling, the apple tree needs to be planted today." So I went outside, got the spade, got the apple tree, dug the hole, the dog was watching, dug it, and that it produced fruit was a miracle. Because, you know, I was not very gentle. I showed no fruit of the Spirit. In fact, I was kind of cursing the stupid tree. And blow me down, it started flowering and it started producing fruit. Apples. Well, that's what I expected. I planted an apple tree. The apples appeared on the tree. Hey, Christian, I expect you to produce love, joy, peace. That's what we expect. That's the marks. Here's the story. This stupid dog, there's an apple, beautiful, growing. And it loved chasing balls. It was as thick as a plank, but you throw the ball, it overrun it, and it looked for it, and it's under. Now it was crazy. So I throw the ball, and it runs headlong into that little apple tree. And the apple goes flying. Our first apple. It's green still, but it produced apples because I planted an apple tree. Christian. You've been planted as a Christian. The fruit you produce is love, joy, peace. Don't say, give me a break. No, you're a Christian. You produce that fruit. That's who you are. Now, have patience with me. No. You produce fruit. By their fruit, Jesus said, you'll recognize him. He who dwells, abides in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Don't just pay a little visit to him. Abide. Make it your space. Make it your place. Speak to him. You'll see the fruit start growing. Asa Fontaine, you may be small. You may be few. But Jesus only had 12. Turned the world upside down. You could turn the place upside down. Why not? The Spirit of God comes on you. And you just start testifying. You're sharing good news. Where do you go? No, we go to the Josh. Oh, you those guys. Yeah, then they find out they're actually nice people. They actually, yeah, we like those people. You do that. Asa Fontaine will be a different place. Can be. Because God can produce fruit in you. In keeping, the Bible says, with repentance. Saying, Lord, forgive me. You might have enemies in the town. In fact, when I was driving here, I said, Lord, I felt there is a person, a man, who actually has a bad vibe with somebody in Asa. And I felt God say that you need to put it right. You need to put it right. Because you'll see the fruit come out of that. Because it's so contrary to the way the world thinks. What did you say to me earlier? The world says, you know, get even, bro. Get even. You do that to me, I'll do that to you. Somebody. If that person, and I can pray for you afterwards, I'd like you to do that. No embarrassment, just help you, but go and put it right. We can't carry that, because that makes the fruit, ha-ha, poofy. The fruit, what we're bearing, it's not good. Taste that fruit. If people taste of Jesus' fruit, it's nutritious, it's sweet, it does something. What's the fruit that you give when they eat of the words you speak? When I speak, what happens? No, we want the fruit of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. He's in you. I mean, the God of creation lives in you. Hey? And we don't consult him about everything. And we should. We should ask him anything, anything, anything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you said, I'm going to your disciples. You said, I'm leaving, but I won't leave you as orphans. And Lord, sometimes, I know I think like this, Lord, we think if you were here in the flesh, it would be easier because we could converse easier with you. We could ask you and you could show us and we could look into your eyes and we could hear your voice and we could feel your touch. But you actually said, Lord, to the disciples, it's going to be better for you that I go away because I'm going to send one who won't just be with you, he'll be in you. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us the grace to develop that relationship with you supernaturally in the Spirit. Lord, we can't see. We can feel sometimes your presence. But Lord, you said it's better. I pray, help us to believe that truth, that it's actually better that you went away. Because the one that has come is not just with us, he's in us. And Holy Spirit, I pray, awaken that reality in our hearts, that you are God living in me. We have become the temples of the Spirit. On the day, Jesus, you were crucified, that curtain was torn, and there was access to the Holy of Holies. And you've made a new and living way. Help us to take advantage of that, Lord, in the sense of, wow, I can come to you. So I pray, part us with your blessing today. Teach us, Lord, to just abide, to know you. Thank you that you are for us. And Lord, if you're for us, who can be against us? Yeah, we face many issues. But Lord, you said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Help us to believe that truth too. Thank you for this congregation. Give us hope in our hearts that we can change this little village. We can speak to people. We can show them the realities of the living God that lives in us by His Spirit. So be glorified. And I pray you'll encourage us in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed and said, amen. 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 Thank you, Henry. No. Are you the man?
No, Mike. Mike's the man now.
That Mike.
All right. Great opportunity, eh? Great opportunity. And maybe for you this morning, you don't even understand the language of having that kind of fruit. Just don't live that way. But I want to give you an opportunity and just say, maybe today is the day. You're going to say, yes, Lord. I want to be that kind of man. I want to live that kind of life. I want to be an impact. I want to have something of a standard in my life that stands out. That when people look at the tree, they know who I belong to. Because the fruit is showing. The fruit is showing. Anyone here this morning? Just quickly raise your hand. If it helps you, let everybody close their eyes. Anyone here just want to put up their hand and say, Jesus, today it's me. I want to have that opportunity. I want to walk with you. I want to know you and be fruitful. Anyone here? All right. Thank you, God, for a wonderful meeting this morning. Thank you, God, that we could talk to you and that you could talk to us, that you could come, Lord, by your Spirit and stir something up in us, God. And maybe we're not quite everything we want to be today, but we thank you, Lord, that you still reside in our hearts and our lives. And that, Lord, if we stay long enough in your presence, we are going to show the fruit of who you are. We are blessed, Lord. Thank you so much. And thank you for our visitors, those with hair and those without hair. It's okay, I don't mind. I've got a solar panel, my bro. I've got power all the time. I don't need to go looking for it. I've got an automatic plug-in. I don't have to plug in. I've got the sun on my head. Okay, anyway, it's a good joke. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like at the end of the day. I love the Lord, and I think that's really what I do. I love the Lord with all my heart. He's wonderful. Served Him for a long, long time. It's a privilege of being old. And have a long time with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. If you still want some coffee, grab it. Don't run away. And thank you so much, Durbanville. Not Durbanville, Cape Town. Where are you from? Sunnydale. The sunny.